Mr. Laddock, do you see any other major challenges that might be coming before the city?
The landfill and the wastewater treatment plant are a pretty big issue. As folks know, we've had to increase the rates at the landfill over time to cover our costs, and we have a line landfill where the leachate from the landfill goes into the wastewater treatment system and affects our wastewater treatment plant. We are in a situation now where we've had violations on our new permit with EPA, and at the time the permit was passed in 2004, we told EPA there were problems in the permit and mistakes. They signed the permit anyway. It took us 2 years to get them to agree that there were mistakes in the permit. They agreed to a modification. In that process, they had to go back out to public comment, and Fish and Wildlife Service told EPA that they didn't consult with them in the process concerning Endangered Species Act and the impacts on this permit on the Stellar Zyder, and it stopped that modification process. Then the compliance folks at EPA got involved and started assessing us fines. We're right now in the process of negotiating what those fines will be and also what a compliance order, a timeline for fixing the problem. And at the same time, we are now in a permit renewal process with DEC on that plant. And we're hoping that instead of paying the fines, we can do a project, maybe in conjunction with Fish and Wildlife, instead of giving money to EPA, giving money to a project that will help us understand better what's going on. But we're looking at having to spend some money to improve the plant that was currently built and put online in the year 2000. So that's a huge impact. We're expanding the landfill. We're going to be moving the road, Summers Bay Road, to the outside along the water. And we're going to, we have a 45-year plan for the landfill, and we'll be building another cell, which is be just north of the landfill facility. And we'll be putting in, the plan is flow leveling tanks, because we get storm events, water goes through the landfill, comes into the wastewater treatment plant, and creates increased flow, which is a violation of our permit if we go over a certain amount of flow through the plant per day. So we're going to put in flow leveling tanks that'll capture that water runoff and then put it through the plant at a more steady pace than a big slug of fluid. So we're doing lots of improvements out at the landfill. We've got these, we're looking forward to improvements in how we do our roads, the boat harbor, the powerhouse. Those are two huge, huge projects for this community that were started in the 90s. So we're really looking forward to that. Very pleased about the fact that our bond sold for 5.46% as opposed to a couple of weeks ago, the bond bank folks thought we needed to pass an ordinance for 8%. So we're very happy about that. There are going to be a lot of construction workers here this summer. They're going to be working on the boat harbor. They're going to be working on the power plant and as well a school project to replace the roof. So there's going to be lots of activity this summer.
It seems like there's just a lot of large, large projects in the work that are going to take multiple years. These are all part of an overall strategic plan?
Yes, they're all part of the CMMP process, capital maintenance and major projects that the council by ordinance looks 5 years out every year. And, of course, a lot of the stuff out four and 5 years out, the numbers are basically, WAG numbers, things that you just think they're going to cost. And as they get closer down on the list, then you start putting more staff time and more effort and more money into getting actual numbers. But the idea is that you're looking for issues for health and safety, quality of life, just needed basic infrastructure. And, this community has just grown so tremendously in 20 years that items and infrastructure that came into place 20 years ago no longer suffice, either in just terms of volume for who they're taking care of, what they're doing, but also in terms of permitting. The permitting process is unbelievable. It's probably in the state of Alaska. We've talked about this at the Alaska Mayor's Conference across the state. That is the single biggest cost factor in any project you do. And it can kill some projects because there's some communities that just do not have the time and the money and the know-how to just wade through this unbelievable swamp of permitting. And it can just take years and millions of dollars.
Are there other elements to strategic planning that community members can weigh in on at this point?
Well, it's up to the council to decide how in-depth a process they want to do for strategic planning. As staff, we're looking at developing a sustainability plan, which is basically a five-year budget that takes into account the CMMP, that takes into account all our maintenance plans and processes, and also will identify the policies that the city council needs to make and changes. I would suggest that everyone should take part in what's going on with the budget and what projects we are planning. But it is going to be up to the council how much they want to include the public in the strategic planning process. And I think it's good ever so often for a city council to ask the community, are we doing what we should be doing, one, and two, what do we want this community to look like in 5 or 10 years? We have one of the best schools in the state, but all sorts of things I could list about the positives of this community. Transportation is trying. We're still in the process with FAA and DOT on a EIS for improvements to the runway. Right now we're looking at adding 500 additional feet and addressing some of the safety issues for $80 million. So by the time you actually do the project, it'll more than likely be $100 million. But we're sort of the poster child of how not to do a runway. But at the same time, what can you do? You'd have to tear down basically all the buildings at the on the runway, the city's facility, the storage facility, the aerology building. All those buildings are too close to the runway line. Well, so we have an exemption. On the other side of the runway, all those revetments that are there that were used during World War II, you're not going to be able to take those out because they were there during World War II and they were used during World War II, and that's a hidden National Historic Landmark. And always my approach has been with FAA and DOT is go, let's sit down and talk about what's realistic and get after it. And I've been working on that project since 2001. One of the first meetings I went to as a city manager here was a meeting with Alaska Airlines, DOT, and FAA. And we're still discussing the best approach. And you got safety issues. You have a road at the end of the runway. You don't see that very many places. We have deep water on each end of the runway, so it makes it very expensive no matter what you decide to do. This city became a town, as I'm told, in 1942 to stop the Army from taking out the church here because they wanted to put the runway where the Orthodox Church is right here in downtown Unalaska. So this is a long-standing issue. I know that at least in the last 20 years, DOT and FAA has been trying to solve it. And I still think the best way to solve it is through design aircraft and aircraft that can operate on such a runway. And I know that Penn Air is working on that.
Is there anything else that you think community members should know at this point?
I don't know if there's anything to say new, but I would just really encourage members of the community to come on down to the meetings. I know a lot of folks do watch them on Channel 8, and that's a great service. A lot of people tell me they watch those. But the interesting thing about coming down and being part of the meeting is that you really are just more aware of everything that's going on. You can look at the same information that the council has before them. It's on paper at the back of the table, or you can pull it up online and look. And you can have your say. during public comment. You can just raise your hand and stay in your seat. It's not embarrassing. It doesn't, you know, it's you're not on the spot. And to help the council wade through some of these discussion items. Quite often, somebody will just raise their hand and ask a question or make a comment, and you think to yourself, wow, that's a great idea. You know, we didn't think of that. Well, who would? I mean, we're just a group of, you know, six people from the community just doing the best we can to wade through all of the information and make good decisions for everybody in the community. So the public participation is really big, and it's fun. You know, people laugh at me when I say that, but it's true. It's fun to come down there, and you generally will meet people, get associations with people that you might not associate with before, and build new friendships, and it kind of gets interesting once you've been there a few times and you start to know the drill and the process. And sometimes, yes, I know we're horrendously boring, but that's, you know, that's part of local government, and it's all about this community. It's all about its future. It's all about its health. And, you know, Unalaska, for all the challenges out there, we are in a great place. It's a great place to be. It is a healthy, solid, happy, friendly, well-run community. It really is. It's a community effort. Local government is a community effort. So I would just really encourage people to just go ahead and come on down on a Tuesday night and see what's going on.
So every second and fourth Tuesday of the month?
Generally, yes.
Generally in the city council chambers about 7 p.m.
Absolutely.
I'd like to thank you both for being here today and for telling the community what's going on.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.